Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.
Chair congratulates Reverend Matthew C. Harrison and declares him as the newly elected president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
I wish to inform you that you have kept your perfect record of electing sinners as presidents of the Missouri Synod.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices and contemporary worship styles down the line.
It's faith that makes you aware of the doubt. And a person that has no faith in God isn't hurt by doubt. It's the Christians that are feeling the struggle that's inside of them.
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
It occurred to me, I was doing some preparation for the website, the Issues Etc. website, earlier today, and I go through preparing for the audio that's going to be put up, and I asked Jeff, what are we going to be talking to this person about and that person about? And he said, we're going to be talking with Pastor George Borghardt about giving in the Scriptures, and I typed that out dutifully, and then it occurred to me, you know, that might be misleading. Not intentionally misleading, but given how most Christians understand the topic of giving, they think immediately about the offering plate, about Christian stewardship, about our obligation to give. Is that how the Bible approaches giving? Pastor George Borghardt joins us for the first half hour of this Wednesday afternoon's Issues Etc. It's the 28th of July. Thank you very much for tuning us in. I'm Todd Wilkin. You can join us for the next 2 hours by sending us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, sending us a tweet at issuesetc, or giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. A little bit later in the first hour, Pastor Thomas Messer joins us. We'll talk about the Feast of Booths, a very joyful occasion that Jesus uses to his advantage in the New Testament, this Old Testament feast. In the second hour of the program, we're going to spend that hour talking about 18th century composer Johann Sebastian Bach. He's remembered on this day by many, many Christians. Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House will be our guest. That'll take up the better part of the second hour. We'll spend the last part with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris talking about gray divorce, baby boomers who are waiting sometimes 30, 40 plus years of marriage to finally divorce. We saw Alan Tipper Gore do this, at least separate recently after 40 years of marriage, and it's not an unusual occurrence. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris has to say about gray divorce. 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback at issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor George Borghardt is a regular guest. He's associate pastor at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, deputy executive for the Lutheran Youth Organization called Higher Things, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Didymi, Given Unto Death. George, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, what's up?
It occurred to me when I was typing up giving, and I put it in quotation marks, that a lot of people would probably assume we're talking about stewardship, making the proper offering, tithing, all those kinds of things. Is that the way the Bible initially and primarily approaches this word that you focus on, didomi, to give?
Oh, no. This verb is all about Jesus giving himself for us. It's he gives freely, the way of gift. And so, I had someone email me about it, turning my article into a stewardship program because they wanted to sort of do it Christ-centered. Didymi is all about what Jesus gives, his holy life, his bitter sufferings and death for us in our place. He gives, and we're on the receiving end, or we're being given to. So from him to us, primarily.
Why do we see ourselves as the givers in this relationship when the Bible paints a rather different picture?
Oh, we like to push ourselves forward. It's the way we think of gifts, too. I mean, have you ever seen the show Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
Big Bang Theory, there was an episode, second season, where the sort of the premise of the show is that there's a beautiful girl living next to and across the hall from two geniuses, but they're four guys that hang out together. And the one girl tries to give a Christmas gift to the one of the geniuses, and he gets upset because to give a gift is to enter into a contract. You give a gift, and therefore the person is stuck doing what, Pastor Wilkin?
Well, they have to come up with something to give you back.
Right.
It creates
equal
obligation.
In sort of value. And so it creates a contract between two people, which, you know, the other person may or may not want to be given to. So when we're thinking about gifts that way, when we're contemplating, you know, us giving to God, or our idea of worship is us giving our lives to God, and a sort of society's idea of gifts is you give a gift, you therefore have to receive a gift or get a thank you card at least. What else can you do other than sort of push yourself forward into giving, which sort of pushes Jesus out? But in the scriptures, the Son of Man didn't come to be served but to serve. What an interesting thing. He didn't come for us to serve him. Well, so much for that big religion of serving God. He came to give, didymi, his life a ransom for many. So he came not for us to do the serving, not for us to do the giving first and foremost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. So he came to be the waiter, and we came to wait on us rather than us being the waiter who waits on Jesus.
If you walk into an average church nowadays, you would not, definitely not, get the impression from what's going on there that Jesus ever uttered the words, "I came not to be served, but to serve and give my life as a ransom for many." You get the impression that Jesus said the exact opposite. "I came to be served, so get busy. It's Sunday morning. Come and serve me."
Right. And it, even sort of with the final word of go in peace, serve the Lord, you can kind of get that idea that, or the sort of signs that say, "Now enter in the mission field," like you were given to, and now you have to go and do something. Once again, he gave, and now it's your turn. Or we're going to, the whole business of worship is what we do. That's sort of contemporary worship thing. You got Jesus right when he's the one doing the giving, and he's the one doing the serving. And he's the one who's giving his life a ransom for many, and that gift is being delivered to you in his gifts, his word, the waters of your baptism, the body and blood of the Lord. Take, eat, this is my body given for you. When he's the one doing the giving, then you've got the gospel. When you're the one doing the giving, or you're the one that's sort of offering offering your praise, and that's what worship is all about for you, well, then you're sort of in the law. Not a surprise that American religion would be all about the law because, you know, like you said, it's that's the sort of theological expression, the opinion of the law, that you know, that we can do the law. And you can build a big church by a bunch of how-tos. I do believe that I'm within spitting distance of a church in Houston that's built all on how-tos. And so if that's what we think religion is, well, we better give ourselves perfectly, because if we don't, well then, we'll be paying the price on the last day. But if we step away from that religion, and we see Jesus in the scriptures, the one who gives his life, sort of a payment, a ransom, an atoning sacrifice for our sins, not sorta, is. Well, then we move. That's the movement from law religion to gospel.
But we're so earnest and so sincere. Certainly it must count for something.
Well, sort of sincerity is really depending on the location. You know, one person's sincerity looks one way, another person's sincerity looks another way. And all of it, sincerity, like you said, is all about what's going on inside of me. well, religion centered on me, sort of idolatry. You know, Jesus didn't die and rise again because I believe he died and rose again. Jesus doesn't live now because I believe he lives now. Jesus died and rose again despite my unbelief, despite my feelings. And he gave his life for me despite my feelings and how earnest I am or not earnest I am. That's the gospel. And he gives himself to us, he enlivens us with his gifts, and then we confess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But always him first, because we don't have a mouth to speak or words to say or anything to even sing until Jesus gives himself for us.
When we come back, Pastor George Burkhardt is with us for another 10 minutes. We're talking about giving in the Scriptures. Now, he has raised a very valid point of the law. If Christianity is about what you give, your giving to God, to others, whatever it may be, then you'd better be sure you're giving everything you're supposed to. And since, of course, the law requires that you give everything without exception, you got your work cut out for you. There's another, and he talked about this early in the in our conversation, there's another kind of insidious thing about understanding giving the wrong way around from the way Scripture presents it, and that is it does create a sense of obligation. We don't necessarily want to be given too freely because in our sinful way of thinking, that creates a contract, a sense of obligation, a deal, a bargain, if you will, that we enter into sometimes without wanting to. And if God has been so generous with me, doesn't that obligate me to in turn give to him? We'll deal with that on the other side of the break.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday School lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement. In the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. It's Wednesday afternoon, July the 28th. We're talking about giving in the Scriptures. Pastor George Burkhardt of St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, is our guest. Let's stay on this for just a second, because it's difficult to disabuse ourselves of
It's just an impulse. Someone gives you something and you feel obligated to give something back, even when they assure you, no, 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 this is a gift, no obligation. You feel obligated. We've all been in this position before. And someone's going to say, given what you've said in the last segment, George, they're going to say, are you trying to tell me that God has so lavishly given freely to me, and it really is free, and it sets no obligation upon me whatsoever with respect to him?
Well, I'm not trying to say it. I think Jesus said it. I mean, yeah, our culture says that you get nothing free, and the world sort of has trained us, and Mommy did too. She had her heart in the right place where she said, you know, you got a gift from Mrs. Schmidt at church. It's time for you to write your thank you letter, you know. But when it comes to Christianity, the giving was done by Jesus. His holy life, his bitter sufferings and death, that sacrifice, once and for all time, he gave his life a ransom for many. And that's salvation. Now, I'm not saying that we don't also give our lives for a neighbor. We receive his gift, his sacrifice on the cross in the Word, and that enlivens us to give our lives for our neighbor. But let's not turn the thing upside down and make it all about us and what we do, and sort of focus on us giving. That's like the person who's resuscitated. The EMS comes in, they sort of put the paddles on them, wake them up, and you know, the person wakes up and says, you know, well, I'm certainly glad I decided to live. What? No. No, I'm so glad you got here with the paddles to make me alive. Otherwise, I would be dead. And Jesus has done that with his holy life. He has enlivened us to serve us. But so often, especially in our culture and man's religion and the sort of most of this sort of, I'll put it in quotes, Christian religions, where the big deal is us giving ourselves to Jesus. We give, then that sort of makes God act and he does his thing. When that's totally contrary to the scriptures. If you want to memorize a verse for understanding good Christian worship, Lutheran worship, the Son of Man didn't come to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That is Jesus worship. That is Jesus salvation. And then afterwards, after you are thoroughly sort of, that has enlivened you, then you can give your life to your neighbor. But it's like so often, especially with like youth ministry, you know, the person comes up and says, okay, I see you've got worship services and stuff, and you're teaching the kids Bible study and stuff at Higher Things and in my own church. When do we get to the real business, which is the service? Hold up. Time out. There's a service, and we'll talk service, but first we got to talk Jesus, and we got to not just talk Jesus, but let's be given to by him, receive his cross in the Word and in his gifts, and then he'll enliven us to do works of service that we ain't never thought were possible, and because it's his doing it and not us.
That's all right. Let's talk a little bit about what naturally occurs to people when they hear giving, and that is stewardship and offering. If what you have said, and it is all standing here in the background, how does it change the way that the Christian does understand service to neighbor, and in particular the service to neighbor as it is, it's usually expressed through some sort of gift that we give. Gifts to a church, to the poor, whatever it may be. I'll just say this much, George. I remember someone saying, well, here's a good principle for Christian giving. Give until it hurts. And I thought to myself, that this was when I was much younger, I thought to myself, it always hurts. You know, that's a pretty minimal standard, especially if you don't have much. Giving till it hurts kind of lets me off the hook. I can say, okay, there you go. That hurt. See you later. How do we rightly understand now service to neighbor?
I run it through Jesus. I mean, he gave his life for us. And so what we do for our neighbor and what we give in the plate is fruit of that sacrifice for him. As a hymn we sing in church every Sunday, we give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be, all that we have is yours, O Lord, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Sort of, don't pay attention to your giving. It's just, it's all Jesus's anyway. So the proper place of giving is after being given to by the Lord. Give it till it hurts. He gave until it killed him. And then he rose again from the dead. And we rose with him. And that life that we spend now, we live no longer for ourselves, but by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave, well, there it is again, his life for us, right in Galatians 2. So, sort of, no focus on you while you give. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, because your giving is from your being given to by the Lord. And so it's him giving through you. And not just simply money. It's easy to give money. I mean, your time, your talents, you know, the gifts that you have, your abilities for your neighbor. They ask for your coat, give them your tunic as well. Because you're free. You've been freed from sort of caring about how much or how little or how what you're given, because you've been given to bountifully. Crucifixion, resurrection, baptism, Lord's Supper by the Lord.
Could it be, we've only got about 30 seconds here, could it be that if I have lived much of my life thinking that my relationship with God is first and foremost about what I give to him, what I can scrounge up and offer to him, that I have been worshiping a false God, a God that requires such things of me?
You can have an idol named Jesus, especially if it's all about you. And our favorite idol is me, and we can sort of tag it any sort of thing we want. Let's turn from that sort of talk and cling to the one who came not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for our lives.
George, before we let you go, tell us about the Lutheran Youth Organization, Higher Things. I know you got a lot to say.
Higher Things is an organization which promotes Lutheran identity, which dares young people to be Lutheran in retreats, conferences, in a magazine, on a website, through our work on college campuses. I think I'm about to leave. I'm going to be floating down a river tomorrow at a Higher Things retreat in at the Frio River in Texas. And all the while, putting Jesus before young people, daring them to be a Lutheran, and saying, you know, it's okay to be a Lutheran. It's okay. And more than just sort of daring you to be something else, giving you Jesus, crucified, risen from the dead for you. That's what Higher Things is all about.
One other thing, because I was actually talking with somebody about this, they said, what makes it different? And I said, well, you know, the thing that always stuck out in my mind with Higher Things is they keep everything straight and separate. They say, when we work, we work. When we worship, we worship. When we play, we play. And they don't try to mix these things into one another. Why is that so important? 1 minute, George.
Well, I mean, when we worship, we worship. When we work and study, we work and study. And when we have fun, we have fun. Sort of making fun Christian and making worship fun is sort of not trusting that the Lord is going to do his thing with his words, nor is it particularly Lutheran. And so what we do in the Higher Things is we give Jesus. And we do that in worship. We do that in catechesis. And then when we have fun, we just have fun. And, you know, Todd, we have three conferences next year, Atlanta, Georgia, Illinois State University, and Nevada, Las Vegas. I hope to see you at one of them.
Well, that's up to you, because
that's up to me. Okay.
But if I have to give a preference, please, Vegas.
plenty
of time off, please. I don't want heavy obligations. I would like to be able to enjoy that fine city as well.
Okay, we'll see at one of them. We'll talk. Take care, Pastor.
You can find out more about Higher Things. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor George Borghardt is Associate Pastor at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas, Deputy Executive, that's a fancy title, for the Lutheran Youth Organization, Higher Things, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Didymi, Given Unto Death. Thank you, George.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, second half hour of the program today, Pastor Thomas Messer will be with us. We're going to be talking about one of the most joyous festivals of the Old Testament, people of God, the Feast of Booths. Now, it sounds so funny, and it was, interestingly enough, a feast that pointed backward, where the people were literally reenacting an event from their history, the Exodus, and their wandering in the wilderness. But even more so, it pointed forward to something that had yet to happen. John talks about it in the beginning of his gospel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word tabernacled, took up a booth among us. This Feast of Booths, pointing backward to the Exodus and forward to the Incarnation, is a subject for the remainder of this hour of Issues, etc.
But they're not what I came for, and I'm sure you see that too. I came for you, for you. I came for you, but you did not need my urgency. I came for you, for you. I came for you, but your life was one long emergency.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Sarah Palin resigned as governor of Alaska, saying she said she could be more effective as a private citizen. Many people wondered out loud if she really could. Well, Sarah Palin's proving it's true. The former governor started a political action committee and has been endorsing pro-life candidates and getting amazing results. A Palin endorsement is worth gold because so many people believe Sarah is true to her word, something rare in politics. Sarah's PAC raised close to $1 million in just the last quarter, which will help many pro-life candidates. People are giving to Sarah's PAC because they share her beliefs. Check out a moving video she made about women standing up for what's right by visiting today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.